community foundation of the North State. We believe strong communities start with generosity and connection. As a grant-making public charity for over 25 years, we link people who care with causes that matter, supporting education, the arts, health, and more across the North State. Together, we're creating a lasting impact right here at home. The Community Foundation of the North State. Local giving, powerful results. Visit cfnorthstate.org to learn more. A proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Do appreciate it. Oh, we got a good one today. One of my new favorites. One of the guys that's in Congress. I mean, you're really going to get to know this guy because I think he's got the talent. He's got the energy. He's got the aptitude. I've spent some time with him, had lunch with him. And I'm really looking forward to the discussion with him today. But Brandon Gill is a freshman congressman out of Texas. Good old Texas. You gotta count on Texas to send us a good conservative to Congress. This guy's the real deal, and fascinated to learn a little bit more about him, his philosophy, his approach. And I just think if you saw the hearings, for instance, on National Public Radio, some of the others, you're going to learn real quickly. The guy knows how to ask questions and follow up. Now, you would think that members of Congress, if you're elected, this would be like a skill set. But I promise you, having been the former chairman of the Oversight Committee, it is not a skill set that everybody has, even though they want to have it. It is a talent to question people in 5 minutes. And sometimes you get former prosecutors who are really good at this. Think of like, Trey Gowdy, John Ratcliffe, somebody like that, Ron DeSantis. These people were, you know, they have a law degrees and know how to ask probing questions. Other people, not so much, even though they may want to. But Brandon Gill is one of those guys, one of those members who's actually really good at it. And like Lisa McClain out of Michigan, she's really good at it. And so, I don't know, I gravitate towards those because I think it's one of the core functions of what Congress should be doing is providing oversight. And whether you're on the Oversight Committee or not on the Oversight Committee, you still... this is what Congress should be doing with their hearings and probing deep. So we're going to talk to him. But let me start with the news first. All right. So we are right in the thick of it, right? We are right in the thick of it. Two things I want to mention. One is the reconciliation package. You see the tumultuousness of going back and forth and up and down. And it's not conservative enough. Oh, we're cutting too much. And, you know, this is the process. This is the sausage making process. This is what Congress should be doing, is having these vigorous debates. Now, again, hats off to Speaker Johnson for getting the ball over to the United States Senate. But now the Senate's got to do that tough job, and they've got to have these discussions. And it's a small room, right? You just have to get to 50. Because it's reconciliation, you don't have to go through what's called cloture, where you'd normally have to get to 60 votes just to decide whether or not to move the bill forward. Because it's reconciliation, you only have to get to 50. But 50 is a little harder than everybody thought. And there is nobody but nobody but nobody who has a plan to balance the budget in the first year or even in the first 2 years. So understand and recognize that the debt is going to grow before it grows, gets to the point where it shrinks. But we got to be able to get there. So tax cuts are imperative because tax cuts are the things that help drive an economy forward. What the Congressional Budget Office does not do in their quote unquote scoring of a bill is they don't consider that if the economy is moving forward, guess what? Then more revenue goes to the Treasury. And I've said this multiple times on this podcast. The so-called Trump tax cuts, you know, from his first term. Guess what? Democrats said, oh, that increases the deficit. No, it didn't. That's not what happened. We made the tax cuts. Revenue to the Treasury went up. But what has to happen this time is they actually have to cut some spending. Now, there are other priorities and things that the president and I think Republicans have a mandate to do, which was secure the border and reinfuse the United States military to protect us in a very, very dangerous world. So that has got to happen. But reconciliation, tumultuous. That's the word of the day. That's what's going to be out there. Understand it, but ultimately it'll come to a vote. Can it happen by July 4th? Nah, I don't know if it'll get there. But, boy, there's going to be some wrangling and some hand-wringing until then. But Donald Trump, I think, has the mandate and will have to play a heavy, heavy role in pushing this bill up and over the edge. And he'll do so. He'll do so very publicly. He'll do so behind the scenes. He will bring people in individually. But he is the most popular political figure in the United States, and certainly with Republicans. If they want any future, they're going to be listening to the president. And I do ultimately think that they will be able to get it done. All right, so it's time to bring on the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, story one. This comes out of North Elba, New York. I can't say I know where that is, but according to the Associated Press, two hikers in New York's mountains, they called emergency. I mean, that's pretty serious, right? You're dialing 911 because they were going to report a third member of their party had died. That's pretty serious. You got a 911 operator, call comes across the radio, got two hikers, somebody died, but when they got there, got it all figured out, guess what? Just turned out they had taken some hallucinogenic mushrooms and were mistaken. Whoops. We just tripped out and thought that somebody had died. Oh, my gosh. It ends up that those, it goes on to say, the two hikers who called 911 were also told a steward on the mountain summit that they were lost. Anyway, come on. Come on, you can't be going out doing a hike, taking the magic mushrooms, and then dialing 911. That's pretty stupid. And then, to top it off, according to People Magazine, you know, People.com, I'm a huge fan of People. Everybody who knows me knows that. A woman is accused of smacking a boy who called her fat at an airport. Now she faces felony child abuse charges. Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's teach the kids some manners. Let's teach them a lesson. But you don't start smacking them. That's kind of stupid. Don't be doing that. Come on, folks. We can be smarter than that. All right. That's the stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and inflation could make a devastating comeback. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see, get a phone on us, Get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The gum-chewing, rope-twirler, Oklahoma social commentator Will Rogers was a friend of presidents, heads of state, and politicians. He was often quoted in the Congressional Record, as he was in this recording from 1925.
And I received a wire this week from a congressman friend of mine who wants a copy of my plan to read in the Congressional Record. And I feel pretty good about that. That's the highest praise that a humorist can have, is to get your stuff into Congressional Record. You see, ordinarily, you got to work your way up as a humorist and first get into Congress. And then you work on up into the Senate. And then if your stuff is funny enough, it goes into the Congressional Record. But for an outsider to get in there as a humorist without having served his apprenticeship in either the House or the Senate, well, I'm not bragging, but by golly, I feel pretty big about it.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
Christian recording artist Rebecca St. James released this love song to her future prince nearly 25 years ago. It took close to a decade later before she found the one she was waiting for.
I was 32, so I wasn't young when I met him, and then I got married at 33. I'm just really thankful that he brought my prince.
That is filmmaker and music producer Kobe Fink, who was waiting too.
There's probably several instances that I could have settled, but ultimately it was the thing that kept me hanging on and holding out and ultimately met Rebecca.
Married now for 14 years with three children, the couple tells their story in the book Lasting Ever about faith, music, and family, and how the true love of Jesus is what gave them the power to wait.
God wants us to find that contentment in Him, because the reality is if we don't have a sense of contentment not married, we're not going to be content married.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently updating its advisory on measles as cases expand in the U.S. Instead of listing some high-risk countries for measles, the CDC is now simply warning it's an ongoing risk around the world. The health agency advising all international travelers to be fully vaccinated against the highly contagious virus with the measles, mumps, rubella, or MMR vaccine at least 2 weeks before flying. They recommend infants ages 6 to 11 months should get an early dose. The CDC says likely places for spreading are in airports, train stations, or in large public areas or events. This advisory is level one of the four possible CDC health alerts for measles. Level two would be to practice enhanced precautions. Three, reconsider non-essential travel. And lastly, level four, to avoid all travel. Right now, there are no level four measles alerts for any destinations around the world. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Joining me right now is Congressman Brandon Gilf. Congratulations, by the way. You are making waves. That's what I like to see. You know, I used to be the chairman of the Oversight Committee. I love seeing somebody who's like not afraid to jump in the fray and start mixing up the pot. I love it.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're having a great time doing it, too. And thanks for having me on.
No, I really do appreciate it. I've been highly impressed. I've watched clips from various hearings, and it's obvious that you've done your homework, and it's amazing to me how witnesses are surprised when they go up against a congressman who's actually got the receipts, and you say, well, no, this is actually what you said.
You know, the amazing thing to me about it is, take the NPR hearing, for instance.
Right.
You know, Catherine Marr, head of NPR, had an army of lawyers sitting right behind her.
Right.
That whole time. They prepped her extensively. Here's what you should say if they ask about how you're funded, why you're funded, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't prep her clearly about her own crazy lunatic tweets that she had put out. And that to me seemed like the first thing we would go to, or one of the first things. So, you know, we've been able to take a similar strategy, with multiple people. The NPR one was a lot of fun, but we've done, you know, we've had hearings on USAID, and all kinds of other things. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to prep for some of these, But the payoff is huge. I think with that NPR hearing, for instance, we helped build the political momentum to actually get this thing defunded. We should get a rescission bill, I believe, sometime today, in fact.
Well, and that's what's exciting about it. So let's go back here. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you haven't been in Congress that long. So how is it different than what you anticipated it would be like?
It's hard to know what you're getting yourself into for something like this. You always read about how Congress works and how crazy D.C. is. But it's another thing to actually get into this world and realize that D.C. is just its own sort of unique ecosystem.
Right.
It's its own world there. And seeing how legislation actually gets made. I mean, the reconciliation bill was a good example of you know, constant negotiations that get pretty tense and pretty heated frequently. Lots of back and forth, a lot of different people trying to influence how the process works, from outside of Washington and everywhere else. But, seeing how really the sausage is made has been fascinating to me, and all of the different players who come in.
So let's talk about that, because the appropriations, the reconciliation bill, all of that, the budget, that's its own monster as opposed to, say, oversight and the hearings and whatnot. So let's maybe separate those two. So the budget fight, the they're different, right? Budget's different than reconciliation, which is different than appropriations. I know it kind of gets to be a mess there, but, you know, at least when I was there, you'd get into the room, HC5, which is down in the basement, and then they'd have, you know, leadership would come in and try to push you one direction, and then the mics would open up, and then who knows what was going to happen? What's been your experience with that so far?
You know, I will say one thing that's been really surprising, especially with a bill as big as this reconciliation bill, just use that as an example. And you go into conference, to your point, and all of the members of Congress are in the room together. And you have leadership sitting up front. You have Mike Johnson there and Steve Scalise and Tom Emmer and Lisa McClain and maybe Kevin Hearn, head of the policy committee as well. And they kind of give their spiel. And after that, they give you a chance. They open up the mic and they let everybody ask questions, give their views on whatever, you know, whatever they want to. And with reconciliation, there's a lot to talk about because it's a massive piece of legislation.
Right.
I think one thing that I've been surprised by and really impressed by is with somebody like Speaker Johnson, who is actually listens to everybody, not only actually listens, but follows up. I found that whether it's in those meetings, he'll follow up with me afterwards. If I have a question, if I call him, he'll either pick up the phone or he'll call me back. Usually within a day, sometimes the same day.
That's impressive. It
actually is extraordinarily impressive for somebody like that, who is really just having his phone blown up all day, every day, going on media all the time, talking with different members all the time, you know, raising money all the time. I mean, somebody whose schedule is as wildly packed as his is, to be as responsive. That's been sort of a pleasant surprise. But at the same time, it's good to see that sort of interaction with leadership to actually be able to shape the reconciliation bill. But it does get pretty tense in those meetings as well at times. You know, you've got a lot of different factions within our own party, people who just look at the world differently. Even though we're all Republicans, you've got the libertarians, and then you've got the paleo conservatives, and then the Reagan fusionists, and then the, you know, everything in between.
Well, and that's the way our founders envisioned it, right? I mean, if they wanted a glide path for something easy, they would have designed something different. And, you know, it is supposed to be complicated. There is supposed to be debate. There is supposed to be contention. I don't think there's anything too wrong with that. As long as you actually come up to a conclusion, my beef has always been, look, put it up for a vote, an actual vote, because people, they got a lot of big muscles down in HC5, but when they actually got to the floor, they would act differently when their vote has to go up on the board and they have to answer to constituents. And you know what? If it's a tough vote. That's what you signed up for. I just don't think they vote enough in Congress, and I don't think it's all the speaker's responsibility to get everything passed. And there's nothing to say if something fails that you can't go back and work on it and put it up again for another vote.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you see something like that. Take NPR funding to go back to that example again.
Right.
In a lot of this waste with USAID, which is both of those are going to be part of the rescission bill that we should get, like I said, today. You know, both of those candidly are things that most Republicans have voted to fund as part of big spending bills for a long time. So I think one thing we can do is to start breaking out, have a regular appropriations process so that we can actually, you know, actually use the power of the purse, Congress's main constitutional authority, and start putting up, you know, if you're a Republican and you think that we should be funding NPR and PBS, why don't you vote on that? And why don't you explain to your voters why you think that that's an appropriate use of their tax dollars? I certainly don't want to make that case and don't think we should be funding them. But if you do, go for it. I mean, I think that we would have a much more rational budgeting process if that were the case. And I also think that you would see less you would see congressmen start to vote with their district and with their constituents a lot more than is sometimes the case.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit, though, about my favorite subject, about oversight and those hearings, because like we kicked things off just a moment ago, I mean, you've done exceptionally well. It is amazing to me how many members, quite frankly, don't do their homework. You don't need to comment on that, but I'm just telling you, I know, and it's painfully obvious, but it's also obvious when somebody does do their homework and does think this through. And especially somebody who's younger in seniority, I think, well, part of the key here is to listen to what's already been said, because those are usually the best things to do, is to follow up and say, hey, you said this, but you know, you actually tweeted this. And that's what you did so exceptionally well.
You know, the way I think about these hearings is, and we have these hearings frequently, I have three of them this week. Is there huge opportunities to be able to highlight political things that we're working on, or to just shift the frame of debate? You know, and I think that's one of the things that we did with NPR is we helped build the political momentum to actually defund them by highlighting how crazy she was. It takes a lot of prep for those hearings, as you know, to do them well. And that's another part. You know, we had, for that hearing, for instance, my team, all of us went through everything we could find that Catherine Marr had said publicly. We thought of different angles to attack this. You know, what do we go after? The funding, which is they have a bizarre funding structure. Do we go after the wild things she said publicly? Do we go after, you know, things that have happened at local radio stations? And then you kind of come up with a thesis for the hearing of here's what we want to highlight, and then try to drill down on it as simply and effectively as possible. And then to your point, whenever the hearing is happening, you got to pay attention to what she's saying, even in the room. I've found that some of the best hearing prep comes actually during the hearing, as I'm listening to her answer questions from other congressmen. I always have to go last because I'm a freshman.
Right.
And as you know, it's done by seniority, which makes it harder because then all the good questions oftentimes have been asked. But it's also there's a benefit to it, too, because you get to hear how she interacts with other congressmen and you can really get a lot of prep time then.
Yeah. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Brandon Gill right after this.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Get job ready today at Shasta College. Whether you're interested in accounting or agriculture, automotive or nursing, or any of our many other career trainings, our in-demand programs will give you the skills you need for a fulfilling and exciting future career. Planning to transfer? Start here and complete your first 2 years. Then transfer to a CSU or UC with guaranteed placement. And the best part is all full-time students get 2 years tuition for free. Choose the class format that works for you. In-person, online, hybrid, or 8-week accelerated courses designed for busy adults. You may even qualify for up to $4,000 per semester through our 15 to finish program. Restrictions apply. See a counselor for details. Fall semester begins August 18th, so don't wait. Enroll today at ShastaCollege.edu or call 530-242-7650. Your success starts at Shasta College.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
As we all get older, the one constant can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is Jason in the house.
Oftentimes, people at home would say, why do you do this? Doesn't ever happen. You didn't arrest them. And I'm like, wait a sec. Okay, so first of all, they don't give members of Congress handcuffs, nor should they. But you got to illuminate the problem in order to get it highlighted to make effective change. And that's the beauty of it, because in the United States of America, we are self-critical. We're different than every other nation in that we go through this process, and it's amazing how people of, you know, power have to be subjected to questions that their representative from the public gets to ask them. That's the beauty of this system.
Exactly. You know, imagine trying to do an impeachment of anybody, whether it's a judge, president, or whoever, without running an impeachment inquiry, a big, you know, holding massive hearings. I mean, this is sort of an extreme example, but making the case to the public that here's what we'd like to accomplish and why, or here's what we're trying to learn. Whenever you hold these hearings, they're highly public. There's a lot of publicity to them. And you're able to make the case, not just to other members of Congress, but to the American public, that here's why we should be defunding NPR and PBS, because they're left-wing propaganda outlets, because they regularly spew vile, racist things directly from their founder, because they actually are promoting wild transgender propaganda to little children. Without going through that process and showing here's why we're doing what we're doing, it makes it a lot more difficult politically to build the support. I mean, this is as the speaker says a lot, this is a consensus building operation. You know, you don't just put a bill forward. You have to argue and debate and make the case. And these hearings are a huge part of that. So, yes, you're right. They don't immediately lead to change, but they do, but they are a core and initial process to creating that change.
Yeah.
And again, that's what we're seeing here with this rescission bill.
I think that's what, I think it was Margaret Thatcher, and I'm going to get her quote, not verbatim, but it essentially was, first you have to win the argument, then you got to go win the vote. And that's that part of the process. So, all right, let's go back to, because you're exceptionally good at this. You're going to be a rock star doing this. You already have been making great inroads. Let's go back to, you know, how you got involved, how you got engaged in this. But start with, I was born in, like, not what year, but like where? And tell me what life was like, little kid, brothers, sisters, were you playing sports? I mean, tell us about early years in your life.
Sure. So I was born on an Air Force base in Clovis, New Mexico. My dad was a fighter pilot in Desert Storm and was finishing up his time in the Air Force. And so born there, don't have a whole lot of memories of living in Clovis because we moved to Texas when I was about 2 or 3 years old. So my dad left the Air Force, got a ranch outside of Abilene, Texas, which is West Texas, about 3 hours west of Dallas.
Yeah.
And we lived in Abilene and lived on the ranch for my whole life growing up. So I grew up on a cattle ranch. It's about 1,000 acres. We raised Angus and Brangus beef cows. And so grew up doing everything you would expect to do on a cattle ranch, hauling hay, building fence, driving tractors and backhoes from the time I was very little, actually. Working cows, you know, doing a lot of hunting, of course, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
And everything else you would
expect. Did you have brothers, sisters? What were you?
I had one younger brother who's an engineer, not in politics, but enjoys it, I think. And, you know, so he and I would, you know, my dad was an airline pilot. So whenever my dad was gone, he and I would kind of take care of the ranch together, growing up. So went to a very small public high school out there. I graduated in a class of 24.
24?
24.
Wow. So we I had a graduating class. I had a graduating class of 49, but I'm 24. That's, you know, wow. And I can even do that math. Yes.
We were probably the only school in Texas, or one of the only ones, who was too small to have a high school football team.
I was going
to
say, would you play four-man football? I mean, how do you do that with such a small crew? I mean, you barely have room for a basketball team. Hello. Yeah.
Right. So the story was they had a football team until World War II. And then all the guys got drafted, and they didn't have enough to field a team anymore, yes. So it just never came back.
All right, so hunting. You're out in the West Desert, right? I mean, it's a lot of desert out there, but you know, also in the cattle business, which is it's fun business, but it's tough business too, right? I mean, you learn to work. Yeah. What chores were you doing?
You learn to work and you learn to work hard. So, you know, we do all kinds of stuff from building fence, which is, you know, pounding T-posts into the ground and stringing up barbed wire, to baling hay. That's either, you know, driving a tractor and, cutting, mowing the hay and then baling it or slinging square bales into the back of the trailer, which is, very, very difficult work. To a lot of mechanical work, you know, working on tractors and other heavy machinery and then just working cows, making sure that they're, have vaccines that they need to, that they're healthy, that they're being fed, watered, everything in between.
So you're going through school, then you get into high school, you're small, 24 graduating class. But when did you kind of decide, okay, I'm going to have to fly away from this nest at some point? What did you decide you were going to do? What direction were you going?
You know, I loved growing up in on a cattle ranch, loved West Texas, but I think I realized that I'd like to make a living with my mind instead of doing manual labor. Right. As great as that was, so I wanted to go to the best school that I could, and I was a pretty serious athlete in high school. I ran track and I got into a sport called pole vaulting, which is kind of a very niche, unusual sport, and ended up being pretty good at it. And I was recruited to a couple different schools, and one of them was Dartmouth, which is in New Hampshire, the exact opposite of West Texas in every single way you can imagine, from the weather to the culture to everything in between. So ended up going to college in Hanover, New Hampshire at Dartmouth, which is, where I met my wife. We've been married for 7.5 years now. We have 2 children, just had a baby about 2 weeks ago, a little son. And, that really put my life on a very different, kind of a unique trajectory since then.
That's awesome.
That's how it got there.
Okay. So what did you, so you go to Dartmouth, you're running around with a pole, jumping over, vaulting over things, and you met your wife, what ends up being your wife, but career-wise, what did you end up doing?
So I after college, I left and I worked in finance for several years, first as an investment banker. We lived in New York for a little while, and then I was a stock analyst for a hedge fund. We would do something, a trading strategy called merger arbitrage, which is where you're betting on the probability of large mergers consummating or not. So lived, loved being in the financial world. It's a very exciting place to be. You learn a lot all the time. And it's a very intense place to work. Very, very competitive. So I worked in the financial world for several years, but as much as I loved it, I wanted to get back into the political fight.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Hey, it's Matt, your Lee Filter Trusted Pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Lee Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable no clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're taking money out from an ATM and it's not a machine run by your bank, you'll probably be paying more than ever before. Bankrate found that out-of-network ATM fees are at the highest levels since it began tracking them back in 1998. The average this year is $4.77. According to Greg McBride, Bankrate's chief financial analyst, when making withdrawals, go to in-network ATMs or get cash back when using a debit card. Also check out if your bank participates in a nationwide ATM network that can be used free of charge. Overdraft fees are also higher this year and topping $27. McBride said it's important to check your balance before making a notable purchase or withdrawal to avoid overdraft or insufficient funds fees. And don't opt in to overdraft protection on small dollar ATM and debit card transactions, and link your checking account and savings account so any shortfall is covered by your own funds and not the bank's. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is Fox on Justice. Two Columbia University janitors say they were held hostage, terrorized, and assaulted during the pro-Palestinian protests on campus last year. The two janitors, Mariano Torres and Lester Wilson, have filed a lawsuit that describes them being called a Jew lover, a Zionist, a Jew worker, with protesters saying, "What are you doing? Protecting them?" Ken Marcus of the Brandeis Center for Human Rights Under the Law says radical groups organized the takeover.
All of this is being done not like an organic protest, not like a bunch of students trying to say something or express their opinion, but rather as a network of individuals and organizations that support the Hamas terror agenda, trying to undermine not only Jewish students, but institutions within the United States.
Both janitors, Torres and Wilson, say they still suffer from PTSD and have not yet returned to work. Eric Schon, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
I got to ask you a couple personal questions to get to know you more, because this is always the more illuminating part, because you're going to be a player there. You've already demonstrated that, you know how to conduct yourself and represent your district well and be that loud voice and challenge the status quo. And I think that's probably what the good people of Texas want, just like they wanted it in Utah. So. What's the first concert you ever went to?
Concert I ever went to? That's a great question. You know, I think it would have to be a country concert at one of the dance halls in West Texas. And I couldn't tell you which one, but we used to go out and go two-stepping growing up. So it'd have to be one of the, and you'd have these Texas country bands who would kind of travel around the state.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And play live performances, and it would be in kind of a little dance hall or a bar or something.
No, sounds fun. It'd actually probably be real fun. Yeah. What was your high school mascot? This big school with 24 graduates?
We were the Pirates, and I have no idea what the backstory is or why this little West Texas school was the Pirates, the EULA Pirates.
The Pirates. All right. Well, because, you know, there are a lot of pirate activities going out there in West Abilene, right? Okay, that, fair enough. So you told me a little bit about your job, but what do you think your superpower is? I maintain that everybody has a superpower. They're like, okay, I'm pretty good at this. So take off the humble hat here. What's Brandon Gill's superpower?
Well, I would say that I think that a lot of political issues, and you see this in the hearings, can be boiled down to really simple questions. And they're actually not as complicated as we like to make things. And I'll just go back to NPR as an example. But, you know, whenever you question somebody, there's a lot of things you can do. There's a million ways you can approach it. But sometimes just the simplest is the best. And it's, you know, you said that America's addicted to white supremacy. Do you believe that? You know, it's a yes or no question. I think a lot of the political issues that we deal with now, take immigration. Should we have open borders? Yes or no. Should we, is it okay for illegal aliens to be on Medicaid? Yes or no. Is it okay for illegal aliens to be on food stamps? You know, most of these questions are very black and white. And I think that what I try to do is to boil it down, into the really simple essence of what we're dealing with. And I think we've tried to do that in hearings, and I think it's been effective.
No, it is effective. Cut right to the nub of the issue. You've only got 5 minutes for questioning, and, it illuminates where they really stand on things, because
right.
Got to take a position. It's not a complicated question. And they try to get wiggle out of it. You do a good job of reining it back in, particularly,
you know,
when
I think.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I think another example of that is we've had hearings with sanctuary city mayors, and you know, you can get into the weeds of the legality of sanctuary cities and how they interact with law enforcement, and all of that's really important. But another way to approach it is just to ask, you know, these are raging liberals. I mean, just deranged people. You know, do you think it's okay for illegal aliens to be on welfare? Should illegal aliens be able to vote? Yes or no? Should we pay for transgender surgeries for illegal aliens? I mean, these are really basic, simple questions that most people can give a straightforward answer to, and it's extremely illuminating whenever you see somebody get uncomfortable being asked that question or not be able to answer the question. So I think, you know, just boiling things down to the basics really, really goes a long ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No, absolutely not.
I can't imagine out there in the West Desert that they'd say, hey, give me that Hawaiian pizza. Nothing against Hawaii, but I'm just saying, pineapple on pizza, that's a bad move. So judges like your answer. Appreciate that. If you went home and said, hey, honey, we have a guest coming over tonight. If you could invite anybody, dead or alive, anybody you wanted to come break bread with you, come over, have dinner, who would that be?
I think, and I'm assuming I can't choose Jesus, so I'm gonna skip that answer.
All right, that would be the ultimate.
Obvious one.
Yes, yeah.
But other than Jesus or a biblical figure, I would say somebody like, and maybe he's top of mind because it's the name of my son, but Winston Churchill would be somebody who would be absolutely fascinating to sit around a dinner table with. Brilliant, brilliant mind. You know, the most gifted speech writer and deliverer of the 20th century, and somebody who would just be enormously interesting to just pick his brain.
No, I think it would be a fabulous choice, and it would be fascinating to just kind of sit out there on the porch, let him smoke his cigar, and just, you know, just have a discussion with him about life and what he's seen, and yeah, that would be interesting. All right, last question. Best advice you ever got?
Best advice I ever got. Probably the best thing was to read as much as possible. I know it sounds kind of simple or trite, But whenever you're able to read, you're able to get into somebody else's mind and hear thoughts that you and be transported into worlds that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. You can expand your mind, I think, reading more than anything else. And you build sort of a repository of hopefully knowledge or wisdom that you can draw on later. And I think I, you know, from a young age have tried to follow that as much as possible.
But no, I think
been,
it's great advice.
You know, one of the most, you know, in terms of what helps you the most long term, that's been one of the most effective
things. Yeah, it's probably not reels on Instagram, but which I'm very guilty of. But yeah, reading, because I think part of what the magic of the United States, among many things, is not only the knowledge base, but it's also the creativity that comes with it. Because a lot of countries mm-hmm. have some knowledge, but they don't have the creativity. They can't think creatively. And it gets to sort of my philosophy of schooling, but also making sure your life long term, that you're challenging yourself and thinking creatively, which to me means a lot of different things. And you get that through reading, because so it can be fiction, it can be nonfiction, it can be a biography, it can be, you know, anyway. Brandon Gill, the congressman out of Texas, you've been very generous with your time. You're one of the bright stars there on Capitol Hill to watch for, and we wish you nothing but the best. And thank you for taking time with us on the Jason and House podcast. So, Brandon Gill, I told you, he is awesome. I just really thrilled about this guy. Keep your eye on him. You'll be seeing him. He'll be popping up on your screen. And I'm really glad he spent the time. He's just the nicest guy in person as well. Hoping you can rate the podcast. That would be helpful. Subscribe to it. Comes out once a week. It'll just show up in your box. Want to remind people that you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. You can also head over to Fox News Podcast Network. You go to Fox News Podcasts, plural, foxnewspodcast.com. And you've got a whole array of people that are there. Please come back next week. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. We got some guys that have books coming out. I've got a book coming out starting July 1st. I'm going to talk more about that as we get closer. But thank you so much. Again, review it, rate it, subscribe to it. Join us again. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been the Jason in the House podcast.
Hey, it's Matt, your Leaf Filter Trusted Pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Leaf Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable no clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
Join us for our July Beat the Summer Heat Swipe to Win Drive. One lucky winner will receive a Samsung 70-inch TV and a Samsung soundbar. Daily entries start on July 2nd and continue until July 9th, with the final drawing taking place on July 9th at 8 p.m. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
there. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Israeli first responders are looking for survivors and clearing the remnants of a missile that fell on a neighborhood outside of Tel Aviv early today. Correspondent Joe Fetterman reports that the fighting between Israel and Iran continues with no sign when it might end.
Israel says it has inflicted some significant damage on Iran. They've already killed a number of top commanders and hit other military targets. Also, of course, they have been targeting these nuclear facilities across Iran. Equally significant, the Israeli Air Force now says it has taken out most of Iran's air defenses. It has virtual free movement over Iran's skies. That will make it easier for the Air Force to press ahead.
Meanwhile, U.S.-Iranian nuclear talks that were scheduled for today have been canceled. Lawmakers are still reeling from the shooting that killed one Minnesota state legislator and her husband and severely wounded another and his wife. On NBC's Meet the Press, Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota said she's praying for the recovery of State Senator John Hoffman and his wife. They were the ones shot and injured.
They are hanging in there. His wife was out of surgery first, and she's actually texted some of our mutual friends. And he may face some additional surgeries, but he is also in stable condition right now, from what I know. So they had multiple gun wounds.
A massive manhunt for the gunman continues at this hour. In his first words directed specifically to Americans, Pope Leo XIV told young people this weekend how to find hope and meaning in their lives through God and in service to others. The message was delivered in a video broadcast at the White Sox baseball stadium in Chicago, the Pope's hometown. More at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
New data sharing is targeting immigrants.
President Donald Trump's administration has provided deportation officials with personal data, including the immigration status, on millions of Medicaid enrollees, a move that could make it easier to locate people as part of Trump's sweeping immigration crackdown. The administration says the data sharing will ensure that Medicaid benefits are reserved for individuals who are lawfully entitled to receive them. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The data set released this past week includes the information of people living in California, Illinois, Washington State, and Washington, D.C., which all allow immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally to enroll in relatively new Medicaid programs. Indian authorities have started handing over remains of the victims of one of India's worst aviation disasters, at least 270 people killed, including 29 on the ground. News and analysis at townhall.com. A team of scientists deliberately chases severe storms to improve forecasting about hail.
Victor Gensini is with the project called Ice Chip. They drive in fortified vehicles waiting for the chance to analyze hail.
If we can confine and constrain those forecasts, at the end of the day, the end users, the people receiving that information, are going to be better served.
Katie Wargowski is one of the students in search of good research.
You know that you're about to get pelted by the storm, that people should be in their basements for it.
The team has collected, measured, crushed, weighed, and sliced hailstones as big as 5.5 inches.
Correspondent Ed Donahue says hail causes about $10 billion in damage each year in the U.S.
Leaders of some of the world's biggest economic powers have begun arriving in the Canadian Rockies for a Group of Seven summit that's been shadowed by an escalating conflict between Israel and Iran. President Trump leaves for Canada tonight. More at townhall.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcast with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Appeals court allows Trump's tariffs to stay in effect for now. The latest twist in the case that has upended a pillar of Trump's economic agenda. It puts an order blocking Trump's tariffs on hold while the appeals court weighs a longer-lasting stay sought by the government. Here to talk about all of that and the administration's economic agenda is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. Mr. Secretary, thanks for being here.
Brett, good evening.
Your thoughts on this on-again, off-again judicial tug of war over tariffs?
Well, Brett, it seems highly inappropriate for the judiciary to wade in here when the Senate had the opportunity to override the president and didn't. So, you know, in terms of separation of powers, the Senate has chosen not to exercise their powers, and the president absolutely has the right to set the trade agenda for the U.S. This administration is committed to fair trade, and we are striking the best deals for the American people, and anything that the courts do to get in the way, they both harms the American people in terms of trade and in terms of tariff revenue.
You know, you're in the middle of very complex negotiations. We've talked to a number of people about how complex. It's like three-dimensional chess in some of these trade deals with different countries. Do these court rulings affect that ongoing back and forth?
Brett, you know, we have not seen any of that in terms of our trading partners. They are coming to us in good faith and, you know, trying to complete the deals before the 90-day pause ends.
All right, so let me go from tariffs to budget and tax policy as the Senate now takes on the president's so-called big, beautiful bill. Here's Goldman Sachs weighing in on where the debt stands.
We now have a big U.S. budget debate. And so while all the attention was on tariffs, I think the attention rightly is shifting, certainly in the bond market, to the U.S. budget debate and the fiscal picture, which I would characterize as somewhat concerning. I think that we're going to run larger deficits pretty clearly, as far as the eye can see, and we're going to have more U.S. Treasury borrowing. So I think the big risk on the macro right now is actually not so much tariffs.
John Waldron, obviously Goldman Sachs, your thoughts on that and that concern?
I would disagree with John, and the tariffs are not separate from the budget because while we will not be able to score tariff income for the CBO scoring that we'll see as the bills come out of this, or as the bill comes out of the Senate, we are taking in a substantial amount of tariff income. So, you know, they are not separated, and I'm not sure exactly what John meant, because I believe that the deficit will be smaller this year than it was last year. It will be smaller next year than it is this year. So we will be running deficits. We didn't get here in the 120 days that President Trump has been president this time, we inherited the largest peacetime non-recessionary deficit in history, and this debt has been built up over time. And I think by the time President Trump leaves office in 2028, we will come back to the long-term average. We will have stabilized the debt to GDP, and that number will be going down.
Obviously, there's critics up on Capitol Hill. Conservatives don't think this bill cuts enough. You seem to be suggesting that the growth element of the equation is going to help lift the country out of the concern of deficit and debts.
Well, that's exactly it, Brett. And look, there are two parts here. And when I look in the mirror in the morning, I see a deficit hawk. So I'm very sympathetic to some of the senators who want to do more now. But again, we did not get here in 1 year. We can't solve this in a year. We are going to land this plane well for the economy, for the American people. And that is going to be done through a combination of restraining and cutting spending and growing the economy, because it, too big a cuts and the economy would slow down. So you know, nobody wants that. And then, of course, the ultimate calamity, Brett, would be for nothing to happen and for us to have the biggest tax increase in U.S. history, which would kill growth and balloon the deficit even beyond the Biden years.
Elon Musk is officially leaving his special government employee status. It was set to come to an end. As he leaves, Doge is looking at about $175 billion of cuts that they've found, and the administration is going to send forward, we're told, a $9.4 billion Doge cut package to Congress next week. And it's trying to make good on promises to slash government spending. However, obviously, that's well short of what was projected and what was talked about at the beginning. How do you characterize that as Musk leaves and where Doge is right now? Obviously, it's not finished all of its work.
Look, I think Elon came in 100 days did some very important work. And you know, I would characterize two principles with Doge here. One is the absolute level of cost cutting, which Elon has set in motion. So Doge is not going to end with Elon. You know, it is a way of thinking about cutting costs, and it's also a way of thinking about making the government more productive and more efficient. So, you know, I would expect that these would be the initial savings, and they will continue from here. You know, at Treasury, we have incorporated several members of the Doge team. They have become the fully trained, fully compliant Treasury employees, and they are going to be working continuously to ferret out waste, fraud, and abuse within the government system. So I think that the meter is going to keep going with these savings. And then on the other side, we're going to deliver a better product to the American people. Because Brett, you know, I lived in New York, I lived in Florida, and state of New York spends about $235 billion a year. State of New York spends about $235 billion a year. State of Florida spends about $125 billion. Both states have approximately the same number of people, but Florida doesn't have an income tax. And I can tell you, having lived in both, it's better not to have an income tax, and Florida gives better services. So we want the U.S. to be more like Florida, less like New York.
I want to ask you just two quick things. One is about NVIDIA seeing this big boom as obviously they had a great negotiation out in the Middle East. And also the focus on AI is benefiting that particular company as well as others. When you look to AI, where do you see growth potential? I mean, are we talking a point here in GDP?
Well, I've seen estimates that the AI spending is driving U.S. GDP by up to 1%. But I think the bigger story, Brett, can be that the increase in productivity that we are likely to see kick in over the next 12 to 24 months could add another percent to GDP. So we saw that in the mid-90s as probably 10 or 15 years of IT spending finally kicked in and became productivity growth, just as we're seeing this massive AI spending. That is, the construction portion is adding to GDP. I think within the next 12 or 24 months, we will see a big productivity jump that will also add to GDP.
Well, that'd be fascinating. We'll watch it all. Mr. Secretary, we appreciate the time.
Good. Always good to see you, Brett.
Thanks.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
This is House Call for Health. June is Men's Health Month. The Indiana Clinical and Translational Sciences Institute says men are less likely than women to get medical help. Around 60% get routine checkups, waiting for symptoms to become bad before seeking help. And because of that, many men go undiagnosed with conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and mental health disorders. The Institute identifying several critical key health issues men face. First is heart disease, the leading cause of death for men across all demographics. Regular screenings for blood pressure and cholesterol are recommended. Then there's prostate cancer. It's the second most common cancer among men. Mental health. Many men are affected, but seeking treatment isn't a regular action, and suicide remains a leading cause of death for younger men. The Institute says you can participate in Men's Health Month by scheduling regular checkups, promoting healthy lifestyles, raising awareness, and supporting mental health initiatives. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Strangers helping strangers make today's Dean's List for helping rebuild in North Carolina almost a year after a hurricane destroyed communities. Areas like Chimney Rock Village that were crushed by Hurricane Helene last year are finally being rebuilt by people who don't even live in the area. Every store on the once historic Main Street is now coming back thanks to donated materials from across the U.S. and Amish volunteers from Pennsylvania and the Great Needs Trust. Amos Stolfus is one of the wonderful people that have come to the Chimney Rock Village to clean the campground and use their skills to put the town back together.
folks who were left with nothing are now back on their feet again. Between the Great Needs Trust volunteers and hundreds of others from all over the country, they're hopeful for their future thanks to the kindness and generosity of others. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
He just may be the most successful music composer ever. Sir Paul McCartney talks about how he wrote a song for a movie, which has become one of his most popular songs to perform live.
Say, live and let die.
I thought, live and let die, it's not the easiest title around. But I thought of the obvious thing, the original expression being live and let live. But I enjoyed writing it. I read the book, I think, on the Saturday, Ian Fleming, original book, rather than look at a film script, so that I'd get my take on it or my feel for it. And then on the Sunday, I sat down at the piano and came quite quickly. I wrote the song. And Linda wrote the little middle bit, which is like a little reggae bit. What does it matter to you? You're going to judge me. And that was it.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We're building the Golden Dome missile defense shield to protect our homeland and to protect West Point from attack. And it will be completed before I leave office. And, you know, you wouldn't think this, but our enemies are very unhappy about it. We're doing it because we want to be around for a long time.
President Trump talking about his plans for a new missile defense system during commencement at West Point. Joining us tonight is President, Chairman, and CEO of Lockheed Martin, Jim Taiclet, to talk about the so-called Golden Dome and other things. Jim, thanks for being here.
Great to be with you, Brett.
As you hear that and the prospect of it, how do you see it forming and what does that entail?
Well, it's a fantastic vision to protect the country and all of us in it. And I think if you just step back and break it down for a minute, it's easy to understand where we're headed here. First of all, you're trying to stop a drone or a missile attack against our citizens. And there's three activities that you need to make sure happen to stop a missile hitting this country. One is you got to see it coming. And the space-based sensors and satellites that we have today and new ones that we'll put up in the future help with that. Also, air-based, sea-based, and ground-based radars will see the incoming, you know, attack and be able to, you know, provide information as to where it's at. The second thing is you got to identify and track the threat to determine the action that you're going to do to defeat it. And that requires command and control systems that are pretty sophisticated. We're going to need to expand those widely and enable them with AI to make them all more capable. And the last thing you got to do, obviously, is disable or destroy the incoming missile or drone. And we use ground, sea, and air-based missiles to do that today. But in the future, we're going to use lasers, directed electrical energy, and cyber options as well.
Here's the Space Force General, Michael Guetlein, talking about the threats.
Our adversaries have been quickly modernizing their nuclear forces, building out ballistic missiles capable of hosting multiple warheads, building out hypersonic missiles capable of attacking the United States within an hour and traveling at 6,000 miles an hour, building cruise missiles that can navigate around our radar and our defenses, and building submarines that can sneak up on our shores, and worse yet, building space weapons.
So, I mean, hypersonic missiles alone, that's a new threat.
Yes.
That you have to adapt for. Are we ready for that now?
Yes, we are ready for it now, and we'll be able to use the Golden Dome concept to make sure the country is increasingly protected against hypersonic threats. Right now, that we can use a Patriot missile system along with the radar systems that we have today to take out those kinds of threats. That's happened in Russia a number of times, in Ukraine, I should say, against Russian hypersonic missiles. So it's a doable technology, but it's going to keep getting better and better, and so will we have to get better and better at defeating them.
So Reuters says the president, a new data point is $175 billion for the design, but the question remains over what time period. It's probably 10 years. Quoting an expert there, the CBO estimates that Golden Dome could cost as much as $831 billion over two decades. That's always the question, is how much is it going to cost and how long is it going to take?
Well, Brett, the U.S. government's going to figure out the priorities they have and the timing that they will want to have those priorities accomplished. So there's really three things you got to consider there. One is, what's the geography you're trying to protect? What's the location and what's the area of that geography? What types of attacks are you trying to protect against? Is it drones, small drones, large ones, hypersonic missiles, ballistic missiles? Which of those types of attacks or all of them do you want to protect that geography? And then they may designate specific systems and weapons that they want to use for some of those solutions. But basically, it's going to have to be done over time. And industry's role in all of this is to take that government priority list and provide information on the technical and industrial feasibility and the cost of actually rolling that out.
All right. So, I mean, it could be a sliding scale depending on a lot of different factors.
That's exactly right.
But when it comes to you all, for the GAO, this is another project, but the F-35, they say, will now exceed $2 trillion as the military plans to fly it less. So what happened there? Why was the F-35 so troubled? And is it an example of a kind of bloated and broken procurement system at the Pentagon?
Yeah. So the way that the F-35 program was originally constructed made it complex. It was one aircraft base design, but three variants of that base design, one to land on aircraft carriers, another to do assisted takeoff and vertical landing, and a third to do regular runway landing. So that made it complex at the beginning. There were industrial partners around the world that were participating, so they were going to contribute equipment and also buy the airplane. So it's got a complex arrangement, but actually in the end of the day, if you ask the air forces that are flying it and the ones that continue to order it, it is the most effective fighter aircraft in the world today, along with the F-22, of course, which is U.S. only. And so at the end of this, we will have a successful program. It will be expensive, because there's going to be 3,500 of these built on the program if it goes to completion over many, many years. It's going to fly until the 2080s and have to be sustained till then. And that's how those numbers add up. We are working really hard with the government to try to reduce the cost of production and sustaining the plane.
For somebody who doesn't understand that procurement process and how many eyeballs are on the project, if they make one change, one thing is changed. It's like a change order in when you are building a house, right?
That's exactly right.
And it increases the cost and spans out the time. Is that fair?
It is very fair, yes.
And is that what happened?
In a lot of cases, yes. And there's a lot of inputs to the requirements of the F-35, including modernizing it. It's a complex thing to do, but pretty satisfactory outcomes. The acquisitions process should be streamlined, frankly. I've been in
this. But as we get ready for this Golden Dome project, which sounds just massive, isn't that going to be a major issue?
Well, it could be. But I do think that the Golden Dome project is the perfect example to move to a new style of acquisition program, one where the government puts out those broad requirements I just talked about. In this time frame, how can we protect these locations with this size of area the most efficiently and effectively, and let industry come with a numerous set of answers instead of to specific technical requirements. Let us get together with not only just the aerospace and defense companies that are the typical contractors, but with the large tech companies. We've got alliances with Microsoft, NVIDIA, Meta, and others, and also startups and new entrants. So let us all solve the problem either together or individually, and provide some answers, and then have the government pick from those answers.
Well, it'll be fascinating. We appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely.
Time for notable quotables.
I regret voting for you for Secretary of State.
Your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job.
Do you regret some of those characterizations that you made in those times?
I was surprised by what I saw the night of the debate. I hadn't had a previous experience like that with President Biden.
We've lost everything.
I remember praying, and I said, Jesus, would you have mercy on us?
Let's start with these two young people. You obviously knew them.
These were a beautiful young couple. There's going to be an end in sight when we destroy evil.
This right here, the Golden Dome for America, is game changer.
My friends, it quite literally is again morning in America.
If something is beautiful, you don't do it after midnight.
You're all here
to listen to a frog in a very tiny cap and gown, I can guarantee you the forecast calls for a 100% chance of frog.
You know, I have a son who's 6'9". He always says, Dad, I'm not that tall compared to some of these guys. And now I understand what he's talking about.
I know your son. He's about this tall.
He's 6'4", 6'3 and a half. So thank God they look like me, because that's not my height.
Audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Although he was the Speaker of the House from 1971 to 1977, Democrat Carl Albert of Oklahoma served in Congress since 1947. In a 1990 interview, Albert gave his impression of President Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson was the most politically oriented person I have ever known in my life. He thought nothing else. I remember being down on his ranch with him. He was taking me around and showing me his ranch, and he'd show me a deer or a cow or something. But before he got through the sentence, he started telling me, what can we do about so-and-so? He pushed all the time, and he would jump on people. He would yell at his office staff. He'd even yell at members of Congress.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist and host of the Janice Dean Podcast. Join me every Sunday as I focus on stories of hope and people who are truly rays of sunshine in their community and across the world. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
America's listening to Fox News. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House Podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
Or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind, 1962.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway. A little bumpy along about here. Roger, zero G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
There's a new book out alleging Biden administration officials tried to hide their boss's decline. Now some Republicans in Congress are investigating, yet voters were skeptical from the beginning. In November 2021, only 1 year after former President Biden was elected, more than half of voters in our Fox News national survey said his age was interfering with his ability to serve effectively as president. 53% felt that way, including 3 in 10 Democrats. That was just the start. By the 2022 midterms, our voter analysis election survey found 57% felt Biden lacked the mental capability to serve. And by July 2024, our final read, it was up to two-thirds, 65%. So while some aides may have tried to mislead the public about the former president's condition, the numbers don't lie. Most voters didn't buy it. Be sure to check out our website, foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Dr. Charles Krauthammer was a staple on our show. We miss his thoughts and perspective every day, especially now. Each year, a scholarship is awarded in his name to the children of Fox News employees through a partnership with the National Merit Scholarship Corporation, which just celebrated its 70th anniversary. It's also an effort to carry on Charles' legacy with the next generation.
Education is so powerful. You can't just be smart at one thing.
Dr. Charles Krauthammer was a man of many talents.
I like that part about the genius. Sounded right.
He lived a full life, starting his career in psychiatry.
I say that as a psychiatrist who has a lot of experience in watching these things.
And then joining us almost nightly for our all-star panel.
That's why I get the big bucks.
That's right. And making bold predictions at the candidate casino.
I like when you come to the table with your own rules.
How else can you win?
Charles died in 2018, but his commentary has lived on.
Immigration is a separate issue. This is a crime issue. This is a national security issue. And if you keep saying that global warming is the biggest problem for our country, for our century, while people are losing their jobs and their dignity in the Midwest, you are not appealing to people.
Each year, Fox News has honored his memory, providing scholarships for children of Fox News employees.
You have to have this knowledge of, like, everything in a way, so that way it all kind of fits together.
Megan Terra Lavoro has a diverse and impressive academic background. As a member of the Math, History, and Spanish Honor Societies, she believes excelling across an array of subjects is important for her future career as an accountant.
It's not ever just going to be math. It's interpersonal relationships. It's having a more general background knowledge on history, on literature.
Megan has also been a leader in athletics as captain of her varsity basketball team and founder of her school's girls flag football team.
I think just like the overall excitement to like really move on with my life and like get to that next chapter, I think that's the thing that like motivates me to keep going and be like, okay, like I can do this.
She plans to study at Fairfield University in the fall, but like Charles, Megan has overcome health struggles after she was diagnosed with lupus her freshman year of high school.
Just being able to kind of balance, you know, the never really feeling 100% okay with, you know, realizing that there's more to life than, you know, letting like the lupus hold me back. I think that was really important.
There's an element of that in everybody's story. Their low point. Do you want it enough and are you lucky enough? That's a part of it too.
Charles was paralyzed from the waist down after a diving accident, but propelled forward in life, excelling in a variety of fields. He graduated from Harvard Medical School and won the Pulitzer Prize for his commentary.
He was someone who always strove to seek more knowledge and question many different ideologies. To be able to receive this award in his honor is amazing.
Like Charles, Ella Farinakian has written about the importance of overcoming life's hurdles and won various awards for her work. She hopes to one day help others who might be struggling.
You have to
be able to pursue the challenges and the things you want to do and be able to persevere and be resilient even when it's challenging.
Ella has a well-rounded resume from serving as co-editor-in-chief of her school newspaper to playing tennis on her school's varsity team.
Being able to have educational experiences that teach me not only, you know, about different concepts and textbooks, but teach me about people and different cultures.
Ella wants to help others in her future career. She plans to study political science and history before heading to law school.
I'm just interested in seeing like where my leadership will take me. I may continue women's rights and, you know, continue to find other communities to learn more about and figure out ways how I can be a voice and leader.
Joining us now, Charles' son, Daniel Krauthammer. Daniel, it's so great to see you every year here on set in the same seat that your dad occupied. It's great to have this scholarship every year, too.
No, it's wonderful. Thank you, Brett, for having me on. And you know, even more so, you know, thanks for my family, to you and Suzanne Scott and the whole Fox family for continuing this tradition and honoring my father's legacy and his passion for learning.
Yeah,
and
he, I mean, cut through the noise and was so loved by our viewers across the board, especially on foreign policy. And it seems at this time, I get emails all the time, man, I want to know what Charles would think about this X, Y, and Z. Here he is in March of 2014 talking about Putin and Russia. Take a listen.
We have to reassure NATO that it's going to stop with Ukraine. We should offer large-scale maneuvers with the states that are on the frontier of Ukraine, the NATO states, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, and Romania. And what we should do is to announce that any further step of Putin into the rest of Ukraine, we will immediately favorably consider requests for weapons and trainers on the ground. I mean, Putin wants the Crimean Peninsula. He's got it. But if he's thinking about going west to Odessa or north to Kharkiv, Russian-speaking areas, we have to make it plain that he's got to stop where he is.
And it was very prescient, and he went on to say that Putin's a very good liar. He saw it coming.
He did, and it's a bit of a sad statement on where we are now that his words are so prescient, that really the same things he was saying we needed to do more than 10 years ago are still the same things that we need to do. And, you know, I get these same questions all the time of what would he say now, and I think we don't have to imagine we can look at those same words, and he was able, as you so often say, to zoom out and see the big picture, I think, of why we keep finding ourselves in this position, that we always assume that these adversaries are going to be reasoning and reasonable in the same way we are, when, as he so often pointed out, they want things that are different than us. And that doesn't mean we're going to end up at war, but that does mean we have to accept that they're not going to be reasonable the way we want them to be or expect them to be.
You point to one clip here. That he wrote.
Yeah, he did. He wrote about the mirror image fallacy in this respect. And you know, he brought his learning as a psychiatrist, like some of, you know, very wide ranging interests, like some of these scholars, and brought that to his application to foreign policy.
This is Time Magazine, August 15th, 1983, way back.
Yes, and he. He was talking about the Russians and the Iranians then and still talking about them now, and that we need to accept that they're going to want things that we're not going to find reasonable. And the way to make them change their behavior is to change their cost-benefit analysis. And that means applying pressure. That means doing the kind of things he was saying 10 years ago that we still haven't fully done, with sanctions on the oil, with providing Ukraine the weapon they need. And when you follow through on that in a way that respects that they're going to do things that we think are crazy but are their interests as they define them, that's when you can change behavior and get to the goals that we've been chasing after for so long.
People want to study what he's written or talked about. There is a website?
There is, yeah. CharlesKrauthammer.com has all kinds of materials on this. And in particular on this issue, CharlesKrauthammer.com/Russia, all kinds of his writings that, again, sadly are as applicable today as years ago.
I always have a seat on the panel for you when you're ready. When you're ready.
Yes, I appreciate it so much, Brett. It means a great deal to me and my family. And today we just want to celebrate Ella and Megan and thank you and thank them and wish them all the best as they go on to follow their own passions and learning and give that to the world like my father did.
Give my best to your mom.
I will. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up. Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Hey, it's Matt, your Leaf Filter Trusted Pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Leaf Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again. Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable, no clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's 5 questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What is the name of the coffee shop in the sitcom Friends?
Mel's Diner.
Central Perk.
The answer?
Central Perk.
Either way, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
The linchpin of our approach towards Iraq is that autonomy that the Kurdish population has in that part of the country, and part of that is allowing them the economic lifeline that allows them to prosper and succeed. The Iraqi officials have expressed an interest in a closer, better relationship with the United States, and we've explained to them that the core to that is respect, also respect, as I said, for the autonomy of the Kurds.
Well, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, affirming U.S. support for the autonomy of the longtime partner in the Middle East. The prime minister of the Kurdistan region of Iraq has been in Washington meeting with Trump administration officials. Joining us tonight is that prime minister, Masroor Barzani, the prime minister of the Kurdistan region of Iraq. His government has announced some new energy deals with U.S. companies worth more than $100 billion. Mr. Prime Minister, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. I've mentioned your meetings, several of them, not only the Secretary of State, Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary of the Interior, and the Energy Secretary, obviously focusing on the U.S. relationship with the Kurdistan region.
Well, thank you for having me, Brett. I'm very glad to be back here in Washington. We just wanted to come back here to Washington to express our gratitude and appreciations to presidents, to the government, the armed forces, and to the American people for their continuous support to us, and also to reiterate our commitment to be U.S. allies, friends, and partners. And also to emphasize on the fact that not only we are good fighters and we fought together against terrorists, but now together with the U.S. and U.S. companies, we can actually build a lot together in that region, which can contribute to peace and prosperity.
And these are massive deals. I mean, as you look at the breakdown, it's almost $110 billion, 8 trillion standard cubic feet of natural gas, and 5 trillion standard cubic feet of gas. There's 900 million barrels of oil. But you've got the Iraqi government, the broad Iraqi government, saying the federal government has reservations about these energy deals, agreements signed by you and the Kurdistan region, saying they're basically null and void. How do you respond to that in your neck of the woods?
Well, we have the constitution that actually clearly states what rights Kurdistan region has. Kurdistan does have the right to sign deals, especially on development of the gas and energy sector. We have signed deals in the past, and these two companies have been operating in Kurdistan for the last 15 years.
I want to talk about your region. Obviously, the U.S. is lifting sanctions on Syria, formally starting that process today. The Secretary of State said if that hadn't happened, it would become an ISIS playground again. You're in the neighborhood. What is your assessment of Syria and the region now?
We agree with the president's policy to give Syria a chance. Of course, Syria is going through some difficult times and challenges. The government is not yet in total control of the entire country. There are still pockets of ISIS running around that they need to be contained, monitored, and hopefully with the cooperation of all sides, eliminated.
And how do you see Iran? They're in the middle of nuclear talks now with the U.S. over its nuclear program. They've still been a bad actor in the region, focusing on proxies like Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis.
Well, we hope that the talks that currently are underway will lead to some peaceful settlements. We don't want war. Obviously, everybody supports President's vision. We certainly do. We support President's vision of peace, prosperity, economic development, and we hope that these talks will lead to some sort of peaceful results that would respect the rights of everyone.
There's some foreign policy experts that look back at the U.S.-Kurdish relationship and think that we, the U.S., left you all hanging a number of times in recent years in Syria, in various fights where you've been fighting terrorists on the ground. You're establishing this relationship with this administration. How do you look at that and the past of the U.S.-Kurdish-Kurds relationship?
Well, I must say that the U.S. has been instrumental in supporting us. We wouldn't have been able to defeat ISIS easily if it were not because of the support of the United States. And I can tell you on this trip, we have heard very supportive words from the administration. This is exactly what we want, and we are very grateful for what U.S. has done. So we hope that U.S. will continue to see us as partners as we are, and we are very proud actually to be U.S. allies and partners.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Prime Minister, we appreciate the time. We'll follow those big energy deals as well and see how they go. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
At least three soldiers who died during the D-Day invasion and thought to be missing in action have been identified this last year. Tonight, we take a look at their stories and honor their sacrifice. Nearly 73,000 U.S. troops landed in Normandy on June 6, 1944. More than 2,500 were killed or were missing in action. Defense Prisoner of War Missing in Action Accounting Agency has since identified seven of those missing soldiers. Three were named in the last year.
Are there still others who have yet to be identified?
Hundreds. The case of those three soldiers, they were part of a landing craft on June 6th.
Army Corporal Julius Wolf, Army Sergeant John Herrick, and Army Tech 4 Elmo Hartwick were all part of the 149th Engineer Battalion on D-Day. They boarded the same landing craft headed for Omaha Beach. But the soldiers would never make it to battle. The vessel struck a mine as it was hit by artillery fire. The craft exploded, killing around 200 on board. The three soldiers' remains were buried as unknowns at four different graves in Normandy American Cemetery.
How difficult is it to identify in the aftermath of D-Day? It was a massive invasion.
Part of the challenge is differentiating the remains, because as you can imagine, the chaos after the war, obviously the ones they could identify have been back home since the 1940s. The ones that are still missing are the ones we're looking for.
The four graves were exhumed in 2021 so scientists could analyze the DNA.
How has technology today helped us identify someone who was killed more than 80 years ago?
What used to be a sample this size now can be done with your pinky finger thumbnail. And if we have a family reference sample with which to compare the remains against, DNA technology has advanced in incredible ways.
So I assume that these families are anxious to try to find, so they are cooperative in all this.
Very much so. But with World War II, Congress didn't give it to the Department of Defense until 2010. And so we're playing catch up. Again, developing the historical references, the research with which to be able to pursue certain cases.
2 years after their remains were exhumed, officials were able to positively identify the three men killed on board the landing craft.
One of them, and this is a great story, Emporia, Kansas, 19 years old. He will be buried on Veterans Day 2024, which would have been his 100th birthday.
Wow. That's amazing.
Sergeant John Herrick.
And so for that town and that family, they're coming out.
En masse.
Corporal Julius Wolf was buried in his hometown of Liberal, Missouri in April. A memorial service will be held for Tech 4 Hartwick in Onaga, Kansas at a later date.
Many from World War II are already buried overseas in cemeteries. What often happens after those individuals are identified?
Families are given the choice to either inter the remains back at the cemetery where they were interred as an unknown, or bring them back home.
When you find and piece together all of this, what does it mean for the families?
These families go through life with a void of heart and mind. They know their loved one died in combat, but not having that certainty of those remains leaves an uncertainty that it exacerbates their grieving. And so oftentimes it's what we call generational grieving. It's passed down generation to generation. So you may be talking to family members that never met the service member, but they know everything about him or her from the standpoint that it's almost as if you're speaking to his mother.
So it means a lot.
Absolutely.
The Defense Prisoner of War Missing in Action Accounting Agency currently has a team in Normandy, France, searching for three missing airmen who were thought to have been shot down on D-Day. They're hoping to discover personal artifacts in the soil there where the plane was likely shot down. We'll continue to look into this story.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
It's Matt, your leaf filter trusted pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage or basement flooding, which can cost thousands of dollars to fix. Let's face it, cleaning gutters yourself is not only a hassle, it can be dangerous. But when you get Leaf Filter, you'll never have to worry about cleaning clogged gutters again.
Get started today by visiting leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free inspection. If you decide to move forward, we'll professionally clean, realign, and seal your gutters before installing our patented stainless steel micro mesh system. Leaf Filter keeps out everything but the water. And it's backed by a lifetime transferable no-clogs warranty. So you're protected for good. We're in your neighborhood and ready to help. Visit Leaf Filter today for a free inspection and estimate, and you could save up to 30%. Visit leaffilter.com/deal. That's leaffilter.com/deal.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.